The scripture lesson for this morning comes from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, it's page 181 in your pew Bibles. The scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. One of his many letters. In these verses, he is talking to them about the resurrection. He's pretty sure, he's pretty confident that they understand Christ's resurrection. But he's trying to make them understand the resurrection that they will experience after death. He draws some analogy, he references the resurrection of Christ. But he also uses a comparison with a tent, something that the people in that time were very familiar with. He compares the tent, the temporary tent, to the temporariness of our physical bodies. Beginning with chapter 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building with God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. If indeed, when we have taken it off, we will be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan under our burden, because we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the scripture as a guarantee. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Would you pray with me this morning? Oh, Lord God, thank you so much for this day of Sabbath worship and rest, this time that we set aside to gather together to be with one another, but most importantly, to be with you. We are a people who are bombarded by many, many voices, God, but the one voice that we long to hear, that we need to hear, is your voice. And so we just ask that you would filter out all of the other conflicting and competing voices so that we can hear you alone this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Many years ago, I took my little kids to see Sesame Street Live, and it was in this auditorium, and as we came in the doors, there were hundreds, actually thousands of little kids, 8-year-olds and younger, coming in with their parents, and they were so excited to be at Sesame Street Live. And we went into the big room of the auditorium, and up front was a big curtain all multicolored and ABCs and 1, 2, 3s and stars and triangles and shapes on it. And out front was a big trash can on one side and an old jalopy car on the other. And the kids, as they're coming in, they're getting excited. And if they weren't excited enough, the parents were lining up at the concession stands. They had the cotton candy, the big sodas. I mean, they were just getting sugared up for this thing. And they come in, and they're just so excited. It's getting closer and closer to the time for this event to take place. And every once in a while, the curtain would just ripple. Yeah, something was moving back there. And you'd hear, and it was like you were in this gigantic beehive. And the voices were getting higher pitched and louder, you know, as the excitement got closer and closer. And they would just know that right behind that curtain, there is something amazing. There's a magical world, and I want to see it. And the kids are getting excited. I'm like, please start the show. These kids are about to get out of control. And all of a sudden, the curtain kind of rippled again. And about 10 feet up through the crack of the curtain came this long yellow beak. And they went berserk. Big Bird was back there. Ernie and Bert's back there. Cookie Monster, they're all back there, and they wanted to see the show. You know, I just wonder if that isn't how I go through life a lot of the time. You know, I sort of know there's something better back there, but really all I see are the things that are right in front of me. You know, those things that I can touch and measure and weigh, the things that are available to my senses. You know, our senses are amazing gifts from God. The ability to see, to hear, to smell and taste and touch. Our senses give us access to the material world that is around us, allowing us to move around. To lose one of our senses is to be cut off from just this whole realm of the beauty and the wonder that God has created. But you know, our senses, as wonderful as they are incredibly limited. Our senses are quite limited. The part of the spectrum of light that you and I are able to see with our eyes is only a tiny portion of all of the electromagnetic radiation that is moving around us. All the time. We just can't see it. The infrared and the ultraviolet light waves are immense, and they're moving all around us. You know, all the radio waves, all the television signals, they're moving. They're all over the place. They're going right. Our Wi-Fis, all that stuff is actually electromagnetic radiation that's moving around, but we can't see it, but it is there and it is real. You know, our sense of sound, our ability to hear is pretty remarkable, but there is so much noise out in the world that you and I aren't able to perceive it. It's too high or it's too low. And I have some bad news. The older you get, the narrower that range gets, folks. My wife and I have been having some very interesting conversations lately, not knowing what the other one is really saying. You know, and you might think, I have a great sense of smell. Well, I'm telling you, I can line you up to almost any other part of the animal kingdom, and you are going to come out on the low end of the smell thing. I mean, especially like dogs. You know, I take my dog for a walk, and the dog is like stopping and looking and darting here and there because there's this huge unseen world of smells that I am completely oblivious about. But there was another dog on that path just a little while ago. I know it. And there was a deer that went across there, and I'm sure there's a fox around here somewhere. I mean, my dog's brain is like jumping a million miles an hour because of all of the stimulation that I don't get. And on, there is so much of this world that you and I simply cannot perceive through our senses, but it is real. and it is here. And if that is true about this world, it is also true about the world that the Bible calls the kingdom of God. The Bible says that no one has seen God. His invisible nature cannot be perceived by our senses. And his kingdom, this place that you and I long for, is not available to our senses. But that doesn't mean that we don't know that it's there or have a pretty good idea of what it's like. Because God has given us access to these invisible realities through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in the world today that you and I cannot see, but the Holy Spirit takes ordinary things and uses them as vehicles to introduce us and open us up to the invisible realities that are around us all the time. The Holy Spirit works through the agency of tangible things to lead us to insights about the intangible, to take visible things and allow them to be signs that point us to invisible realities. In our creed, the part that we're looking at this morning, it talks about some of these agencies through which the Holy Spirit reveals the reality of our invisible God. The first one is Scripture. What is Scripture? Scripture is a book. What's in the book? There are letters, symbols. Put together, create words. Put together, create phrases. Put together, create sentences. Create ideas. Create stories. They're tangible things. We see them. We hear them. We read them. But through the agency of the Holy Spirit, they become insights. As if the curtain parts and we get a glimpse into the greatness of God who exists just behind the pale, just behind the veil. And it's through the Scriptures that we get to hear and experience God. The Holy Spirit works through the agency of proclamation, of preaching, of interpretation of the Scripture, of people who take the written Scripture and apply it into our lives. And we come to church and we hear a message and something in us stirs. And the Holy Spirit opens us up to a whole new way of looking at life and living our lives. The Holy Spirit works through the agency of those very special objects and actions that we call the sacraments. St. Augustine said that the sacraments are visible signs of invisible grace. Visible signs of an invisible grace. The water of baptism, reminding us of how God's love has been poured out upon us. How through the love of Christ we are set free. How we are adopted through water into the family. And today we come to the table, the bread and the cup, the body, the blood of Jesus. There is something about these particular, very tangible things that move us to see that intangible, great reality of our God. It's through the agency of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes the invisible God visible. But I need to tell you that while our senses open us up to the experience of God, I do believe there is a sixth sense. In other words, there is another way in which the Holy Spirit, in a very mysterious way, allows us a glimpse into the kingdom of God through things that we do not see. Today we talk that we come to this table along with a host, an unseen host of those whom we call the saints. In the Apostles' Creed, we talk about believing in the communion of the saints. What we mean by that is that those people who have died in Christ, who have gone on the other side of that curtain, are still very much with us. That unseen host gather around this table They fill this place and they watch over us. They're cheering for us and encouraging us. We believe that when we die in Christ, in a very real way, we become alive. And so Paul says, we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. The Apostle Paul says that this experience of life is like living in a tent. How many of you like to camp? Live in a tent. Tent living is great. I love being out in a tent. But you know what? The best part of the camping trip is the day you get home and get a warm shower and wash your clothes and get back in a real bed instead of a blow-up mattress. Paul says this life is like living in a tent when we are actually intended for the mansion on the hill. And if we settle for tent living, we're going to miss out on that great invisible place that God has prepared for us. He said, this earthly tent is destroyed, but we have a house eternal in the heavens, a building made from God, not made with human hands. You see, what happens is when we reduce our lives to only those things that we can see and touch and taste and smell, we miss out on the greater reality that is around us all the time. We settle for living in a tent when we could be in a mansion. And so we are surrounded today by that great unseen host of saints. These five are people that were members of our church, but there is a heavenly host who you and I cannot see. But friends, they are alive and they are with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you join with me as we say what we believe using the first six lines of our brief statement of faith and then turning to the section dealing with the agency of the Holy Spirit? Would you stand? In life and in death, we belong to God through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. We trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the church. The same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles rules our life and faith in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the church. Amen.